This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 254, for the weekend of January 29th through January 31st. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Sorry, I got a little distracted by a noise in the background. Let's try that again. And welcome to this week's edition. And I totally messed it up. Here we go. Take number three. Hey, we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, where we talk about movies and whatever else we might feel like, but mostly movies. Art, how's it going?
It is going well. We are having, you know, I keep coming back to the weather because it's just blowing my mind down here. We're going to have a string of 70. It was 70 degrees today.
You in shorts right now?
I don't want to tell you what I'm in right now. No.
Okay. It's a yes or no question, mister.
No, I'm not in shorts right now.
Okay. All right.
I'm at home. I'm alone. I can do what I want.
Okay. All right.
Well. So 70, it was high of 74 today, and it's going to be in the 70s until Monday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all in the 70s. It's absolutely insane down here. Brittany was talking about taking Aubrey to the pool sometime this weekend.
Wow.
And seeing how the water is. So I'll let you know how that goes next week, or if that goes at all. But they keep the pool open, so
That's cool. All right, so before we get over to the box office results, I do have to express some gratitude, Art, because I was thinking about the other day. You and me feels like we've done a crap load of episodes of this show. Do you remember what episode your first show was?
I do not. I mean, I could go back and look it up, but I haven't.
I went back and I did look it up. So your first show was May 17th, 2013.
Wow.
So just over 2.5 years. Yeah, and you waded in the podcasting pool at episode 139. And this actual episode is going to end up being 254. So thank you for supporting this crazy train of ours.
Wow, over 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And I was participating before that.
I mean,
calling in and stuff. So, it's been a lot of fun. I wouldn't still be doing it if I wasn't enjoying it.
No, I understand that point, but I still feel like I have to say thank you.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way. I feel the same way, and I'm still having a lot of fun, and I'm sure you're still having a lot of fun too, since you're still showing up. All right. So, speaking of fun, let's go over to probably the opposite of fun, and that would be last week's box office results. Here we go. For the weekend of January 22nd through the 24th, the top five is thus. At number one, we have The Revenant at $16 million. At number two, we have Star Wars : The Force Awakens at $14.1 million. At number three, we have Ride Along 2. And at number four, we had new release Dirty Grandpa at $11.1 million. At number five, we had The Boy at $10.8 million. And there's your top five. Just missing out, The Fifth Wave at $10.3 million.
Yeah, that one looked interesting, but apparently I guess it's just not grabbing the people.
Yeah, I've heard one critic say that Dirty Grandpa is De Niro's worst movie ever. So I don't know where to go with that. But.
There was somebody, I forget what movie it was. It was another one that, it would probably be his number two movie. But the reviewer, the person making the statement, not really much of a reviewer, he said, at one point he said he would sit and watch De Niro take a poop on film. And then after seeing, that was before he saw the movie. And then he saw the movie and he said, no, that movie was literally De Niro taking a poop on film and I regret watching it. So obviously De Niro has pooped on film again.
Yeah. So, you know, other than that, there's really not much to say. Except the Revenant is going strong at number one. even though it's, you know, it has a 400 theater edge on Star Wars.
Yeah.
Even though it's beating it on average. So, but yeah, you know, the afterglow of Star Wars and, you know, and the Revenant is kind of bumping up what's probably just been a mediocre January.
Right, right. What is the top worldwide gross? I'm looking at the worldwide gross for Star Wars here, and it is currently at $1.949 billion. So they got like $50 million more dollars to go for $2 billion.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Are we, you know, I think we've talked about it. Are we going to see another movie do this well? And I don't know.
Another movie do this individually well? Maybe Avatar 2. But if it ever comes out, yeah, in 20 years, people will totally be ready for it. It'll be, you know, it'll shoot the 3D graphics straight into your brain, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Cameron's going to have to perfect the technology because he's going to be a brain in the jar, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, right out of Futurama.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, let's move over from looking at last weekend and let's look ahead to this weekend. We have three movies coming out in wide release. Art, why don't you tell us about the first one?
Okay, the first one we're going to start with is... there it is. 50 Shades of Black. I must say, not being intimately familiar with the 50 Shades series, I thought this was the next movie in the 50 Shades of Grey series. So needless to say, I was surprised when I opened the tab and saw what I saw. So this is a spoof. This has no rating on the tomato meter yet. 75% want to see it. Here is the line. This spoof from the Wayans brothers parodies the ultra-popular novel film series 50 Shades of Grey. That's it. Thanks. That tells us a lot. It's rated R. For strong, crude sexual content, including some graphic nudity, and for language throughout. Genre is comedy, directed by Michael Tides, written by Marlon Wayans and Rick Alvarez. It is 1 hour and 33 minutes. It has Marlon Wayans, Callie Hawk, Mike Epps, Jane Seymour, Fred Willard, Florence Henderson, a Melissa D'Onofrio. I wonder if there's any relation. Shantae Wayans. Okay, we'll just call it there. I have no interest in seeing this. I don't know. Maybe one of my coworkers will see it, and I'll ask them about it.
Yeah, this is definitely a pass for me, too. But have you seen any of the other spoofs that they've done? Because I clicked on his name in Rotten Tomatoes. I'm looking at his filmography, and so he had A Haunted House 2 ended up at 8%. He had A Haunted House came in at 10%, and he was a screenwriter for both of those.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I haven't gone in for spoofs since I was in maybe high school. Hot Shots and Robin Hood Men in Tights were probably the last
scary
spoof movies.
Scary Movie was 53%. Scary Movie 2 was 15%. And then maybe the first one, Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, was 29%. So we'll see what kind of number it's going to get, if any. But yeah.
Moving on.
All right. So let's go from comedy to drama here. We're going to talk about The Finest Hours. This is 58% on the tomato meter, so it's just a hair rotten. But out of 9,000 Rotten Tomatoes users, 95% want to see it. So what's it about? Well, this might or might not tell you. Casey Sherman and Michael T. Tugayas' book detailing a daring 1952 Coast Guard rescue off the New England seaboard comes to the screen in this Disney film produced by Jim Whittaker, who did Take Me Home Tonight and The Odd Life of Timothy Green. James Tomasi and Eric Johnson team to pen the screenplay. It's rated PG-13 for intense sequences of peril. This is a little bit of drama, a little bit action and adventure, and a little bit of mystery and suspense. Written by Eric Johnson, Paul Tomasi, and Scott Silver. Directed by Craig Gillespie. And this will cost you 1 hour and 57 minutes. And who is in it? Well, we have Chris Pine, Ben Foster. He was very good in 310 the Yuma. I think that's the only time I've seen Ben Foster. Casey Affleck, Eric Bana. My recognition ends right there. But there's a lot of people in it, if that helps you.
There is. And Chris Pine and Eric Bana. I mean, I like both of those actors.
All right, so cue the vitriolic I'm going to give up. review from Richard Roper from the Chicago Sun-Times. The heroism of that small boat crew from 1952 deserves a special film. This is not it.
Ouch.
But if we go a little more west to Kenneth Turin from the LA Times. Before scoffers scoff, realize that this tale of nautical derring-do has several things going for it to counteract the inherent obviousness of the material. So, yeah. What do you think, Art?
You know, I haven't even seen the trailer for this. Mm-hmm. I really couldn't even say. I like Pine and Bana, so that at least has a little bit of interest. But other than that, I'd have to see the preview. I mean, I don't really go in for this type of thing where the true story it's just a good day for both of us.
It's just rolling off the tongue, except it's not. Go ahead.
Dramatic recreations of these types.
Yeah, okay.
don't really pull me in.
Yeah, that might be a pass, too.
Yeah.
All right, Art, why don't you talk about movie number three?
Okay, the movie that I am going to see this weekend. It will either be tomorrow night with the cousin, or if the cousin is not going to make it, we'll do it on Sunday and catch a matinee. But we are going to go see Kung Fu Panda 3. It is 80% fresh on the tomato meter. 97% want to see it. In 2016, one of the most successful animated franchises in the world returns with its biggest comedy adventure yet, Kung Fu Panda 3. When Po's long-lost panda father suddenly reappears, the reunited duo travels to a secret panda paradise to meet scores of hilarious new panda characters. But when the supernatural villain Kai begins to sweep across China, defeating all the kung fu masters, Po must do the impossible, learn to train a village full of fun-loving, clumsy brethren to become the ultimate band of kung fu pandas. Rated PG for martial arts action and some mild, rude humor. It is animation. It's directed by Alessandro Carloni and Jennifer Yoon Nelson. Written by Jonathan Eibel and Glenn Berger. Runtime 1 hour and 40 minutes. It has Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Kate Hudson, Bryan Cranston, Dustin Hoffman, Jackie Chan, Seth Rogen, Lucy Liu, David Cross, James Hong, J.K. Simmons.
All right, so I'm noticing a little bring your kids to work day on this movie. All right, so if you scroll a little bit more down, you have Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight, I just saw him.
The previous credit is Liam Knight, right? And then okay. You have Al Roker. And then you go one more row down, then you have Pax Jolie Pitt.
Yeah.
Zahara Jolie Pitt.
Uh-huh.
And Knox Jolie Pitt.
Uh-huh.
And then you have April Hong.
Is that the daughter of
James Hong? Oh, I'm just going off the last name.
Okay. So they just got all their kids involved in the...
Yeah, maybe.
I can see that.
Yeah, why not?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no torture scenes.
Yeah, I am very excited for this. I knew it was coming up, and I didn't realize it was this week because we were off last week. So, Brittany's like, oh, that's starting this weekend. I'm like, oh, we're going because... Yeah, I love Kung Fu Panda. It's one of my top five animated movies. And I think that goes back to just really enjoying the whole Samurai Sunday, 70s martial arts movies, badly dubbed. You know, just instilled a love for this type of kung fu over-the-top action ever since I was a small child. So yeah, we're all very excited. Kung Fu Panda has been heavy rotation for the last 2 days.
All right. So here's a very cerebral Rotten Tomato review from Liz Braun from the Toronto Sun. Way too talky and overcomplicated. All right, that's the blurb for the. But here's a lukewarm fresh tomato from Joe Morgenstern from the Wall Street Journal. In Hollywood's franchise game, sequels are seldom the best they can be. This one isn't, but it's pretty, perfectly pleasant, and good enough. Just what you want to hear about a movie. Good enough.
Right, right. I really enjoyed the second movie.
Yeah. No, me too. Me too. Yeah, I don't... We'll probably end up going to see this. Even though it'll probably be a little... You know, my son's 12, soon to be 13. Daughter's going to be 15. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
I can see the daughter hitting an age where she doesn't want to go see movies like this anymore. But, I mean, I don't know. I was the type of boy where I'd have gone and seen this, you know, all the way. I remember going to see Aladdin in, you know, with another buddy of mine. So right. I was always down to go see a cartoon. And that was when did that come out? 92. I was 18, 19 years old. I was like, yeah, I'll go see Aladdin. Let's go.
Well, right now you hit what my daughter's favorite Disney movie is. Here's Aladdin.
Aladdin. Yeah. Aladdin. It's classic.
And
it's
more, but it's more because at Disneyland, or actually Disney California Adventure, they have a stage play of Aladdin.
Okay.
And they kind of updated it. They updated the genie. So it's really funny.
Nice.
It's really so. Okay, so that would be the three movies coming out in wide release. So now we can get the share time where each of the hosts talks about what they have been watching or listening to or consuming in any other way, whether it be movies, TV, games, podcasts, any other media you want to bring up. So Art, what do you have for me and our lovely listeners?
Okay, so we went to see the Peanuts movie, like I said we were going to. I enjoyed it, but it dragged a little. Like when the movie first started, there was a real swell and sense of nostalgia, very similar to how I felt when I went to watch Star Wars. But then it kind of dragged, and the execution was not as strong. I felt like they rushed to get too much in. They could have narrowed the focus of the movie and had a better movie. And instead, they bounced from thing to thing to thing, almost like a crow looking at shiny objects. Like, ooh, remember this thing that was funny? Remember this thing that was funny? Remember this thing that was funny? It was just too overdone. It was like they had to get every single Charlie Brown trope into this one movie. And I think that was a mistake. It was like, when you think about Charlie Brown, what things do you remember? What things do you think of?
Snoopy.
Well, obviously Snoopy. I mean, more specific things.
And the whole gag about the pulling the football.
Pulling the football was in there. The kiting tree was in there. You know, I mean, they literally touched on everything. You know, the little redheaded girl, and you know, it was just like they felt like they had to stuff everything in this one movie. And they could have focused it down a little more and left some of those things on the sideline. I mean, unless they knew there was never going to be another movie. You know, it's like, no, we've got one shot. That's it. Let's shove it all in there and be done with it. And if that's the case, that's fine. But I think it was a misstep. Because like I said, when it opened, I was like, oh, yes, this is, you know, this is what I remember. This is what I love. This is, you know, I grew up loving the Peanuts, reading the books, watching the specials every time they came on, you know. But the specials were short. They were little half-hour things, right. You know, and they didn't feel the need to cram every single gag that Charlie Brown covered in his history, you know. Lucy dispensing the you know, psychiatric, you know, advice.
Right, doctor's in.
Yeah, the doctor is in. You know, every single trope that you could name, it was in there. The no dogs allowed, you know. They didn't miss a single beat. And I felt like it was overdone. They could have shortened it up and tightened it up and made a better story. So it was a little disappointing. Moving on. I already talked about the Angry Birds trailer and the Ice Age 4 trailer. I got to see the full Alvin and the Chipmunks Road Trip trailer. And I am still not excited about that in any way, shape, or form. But I did see the entire trailer, so I have a better feeling of what I'm not going to bother watching. I have been watching... So I finished up the first season of Justice League Unlimited, and then I went back to the first season of the Justice League. Because what I did not realize until I had already started Justice League Unlimited... is that I just picked Unlimited because I was like, eh, it could be, it's probably going away at the end of the month. I'm going to watch this one instead of the other one because Unlimited sounds better. Justice League Unlimited is an actual direct sequel of Justice League. The first two seasons of Justice League lead right into Justice League Unlimited. So I've now watched it out of order, and I don't know if I will ever recover from that. It's fantastic. Aubrey's been watching a lot of the shows with me. She's been really enjoying it. You saw the video when I asked her about her favorite superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
She is really enjoying it. Whenever we're gonna sit down and watch something, she's like, "Oh, can we watch some superheroes?" I'm like, "Yeah, we can watch some superheroes." So I'm watching through that, really enjoying it. It's really, really well done. DC's animated department has always just done fantastically, and this is no exception. This is really well done, and sad it didn't continue further than just the four seasons. I did also, along the way, see a trailer for a new DC movie coming out, Justice League versus Teen Titans. And this looks really good. So that is it for things that I watched. I am all caught up on Star Wars. I'm all caught up on Eldamy. I listened to, as far as the Happy Jacks podcast, I listened to the Ghostbusters LA one shot. Was very entertaining.
When did that drop?
No, that's old.
Oh, it's old? Okay.
That's way back in the feed.
I missed that one then.
Yeah. That one, it's like 5 hours long, but it's totally worth listening to. And what's really funny about it is one of the NPCs they get sent to talk to is Tony Bruno. Tony Bruno being the same name as my buddy from up north. So the minute I heard, hey, your contact need to go talk to Tony Bruno, I'm like, I immediately stopped listening and texted Tony. I'm like, I'm listening to an actual play, NPC with your name. Ha 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 ha. Hope nothing bad happens to him.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, but that was totally worth listening to. And then I started Sturmgeist. And Sturmgeist, I'm not feeling as much. I might skip it. So we'll see. But these are all older. I caught up on Star Wars and Eldamy, and I skipped other things in the feed. So, but the Ghostbusters LA, totally worth listening to. And I think that about wraps it up for me.
All right. So.
Wait, sorry. One more thing. I almost forgot. I wanted to mention this. So I've told you about this Tuesday night game night that I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
It happens like once a month. The guy who organizes is a guy named Tyler. Tyler, so I asked him, so what do you do? He's like, oh, I do computer animation. I'm like, oh, that's really awesome. I said, what do you, like, specifically, what have you worked on, you know? He's like, oh, you know, I work on, you know, like, you know, movies and shows and things like that. I'm like, oh, have you done anything I might have heard of? And he's like, yeah, I worked on The Book of Life.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm like, I love The Book of Life. He's like, really? He's like, most times I mention The Book of Life and people look at me dumbfounded. I'm like, no, I love it. It was awesome. Blah, 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 blah. So I know a guy who worked on The Book of Life.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. He's just a computer animator, so he's probably, you know, just doing minor, you know, stuff to help, you know, just all the little cogs that make the wheels turn. But I'm like, hey, the guy gets paid to do computer animation, and he worked on a movie that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely cool.
All right. Now I'm done.
All right. So let's talk about some trailers. First trailer I want to talk about is the trailer for the second half of Rebels Season 2. Have you happened to see the trailer for the second half?
I have not.
Okay.
But I know what I'll be doing as soon as we get off the air.
Now, this might be a spoiler for someone that doesn't watch Rebels, or if you probably haven't seen, you know, the big movie yet, but who cares? They show Ezra with the triple-bladed lightsaber.
Okay.
And based on the timeline of where we're sitting at, there is a 0.000, and we'll throw another 0.01% chance. But could Ezra be Rey's father? Just something worth thinking about if you're stuck in traffic. But yeah, it's, and my son swears that Darth Maul is in the trailer. But I don't
I
know.
Have heard that rumor.
Yeah. But I, you know, it's I'm very excited about where they're going. I just hope that, you know, you always have the fear that I hope the show or the movie is as good as the trailer.
Right.
With that, let's talk about the other big trailer that I'm kind of excited about, Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It's the typical thing. After watching the trailer, I don't have high expectations, but it actually looks really good. And I almost is this going to be the springboard to a Harley Quinn movie kind of thing, because she's probably the most interesting character that, you know, I want to see what happens to. But anyways, but yeah, and you know, Will Smith being barely in the trailer. But I do have to thank you, because if you did not let me know about the DC deck builder game, I probably would not know any of the people that are in this movie.
Nice. Well, there is a lot of information in there. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about it. And I know that someone on some blog has said that he's looking forward more to the DC movies than the Marvel movies this year. And, you know, you got to applaud DC into making kind of an anti-hero group. It's kind of like the anti-Avengers.
Yeah. What's the other... I was thinking about something else that kind of went dark, and now I'm blanking.
Well, I mean, it's really, really Marvel's dark foray will be Deadpool.
Right. Deadpool is the other one. How do I forget that? I don't...
I mean, it's... I hear there's, you know, F-bombs all over the place for this movie. And it's ultra violent. So this is going to be the first Marvel movie that I'll be seeing without my son.
Right, right. So. No, a buddy of mine was commenting on, there was that, the Jay and Silent Bob meme, mm-hmm. where they're like going door to door. Did you sign a petition to have a PG-13 Deadpool movie made? And it's the picture of them from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back when they're going door to door after they want all the money to go beat up all the people who talked bad about them.
Right.
And I thought that was funny. But a buddy of mine commented, he's like, you know, I saw our movies when I was really, really young. There doesn't need to be a PG-13 version of such and such. And I commented to him, like, yeah, I saw our movies when I was too young, too. I said, I think we both ended up a little worse for wear on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, but you know, with that, I mean, it's still going to be an exciting summer, but definitely there might be some roads that we haven't gone down before.
Oh yeah, I'm so excited for all these movies. I mean, I know they're not all going to be great, but just, you know, it's like the more that we get, the more opportunities we have for a movie to really shine. You know, I'm really excited for just all the movies that are coming out. I can't wait.
I'm really intrigued about Batman versus Superman, just because I really don't have a good read on good, bad, or otherwise.
Right.
Okay. So as far as movies, other than I made my wife watch Bernie, because she's a big she's a true crime fangirl, and she really enjoyed Bernie, even though she said it was weird. I said, yeah, that's kind of the point of the movie. But I decided to finally check out The Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
So for those that aren't aware, The Man in the High Castle was a Philip K. Dick novel that is now a series on Amazon Prime, and it's an alternate history where the story is basically about what the world would be like if Germany won World War II. And it's after one episode, I mean, it's very visually, it's very unsettling.
Hmm.
I mean, just because you can see that all the Western states are, you know, Japan states now,
right.
And Germany has the East, and there's some kind of that. The story basically stems from that there is a film. An underground film that's circulating that has actual news footage of the U.S. winning the war.
Right.
And the Germans and the Japanese are kind of, you know, trying to find this and trying to quell this little resistance. So, it's a little dry, and I had a buddy of mine that I told him, that I checked out the first episode, and he says, yeah, I watched the first three, but then Into the Badlands started, and I've been watching that instead. Because okay. he's a martial arts guy.
Right.
So
I know. I mean, it's Philip K. Dick, so mm-hmm. It's never going to be just as simple as it's an alternate history.
Right.
There's definitely going to be more going on, and yeah, I'll be. I really got to take Aubrey's Kindle and see if I can get it into. There's an adult side and there's a kid's side, even though it's a kid's Kindle Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And because it came with a subscription, I'm wondering if I, on the adult side, can watch any of the stuff that's on Prime.
Yeah, one interesting thing I found out about being an Amazon Prime subscriber is that if you have an Amazon device, or so basically what I'm talking about, if you have a, if I, I don't know about, I think you can do it on iPhone, but you can actually download episodes to your device, so you can watch right. You can watch them offline.
Yeah.
So that's well, how I, that's see, how I watched the even... very first. Man on the High Castle.
Right. And see, I don't have Prime. I have the it's a different subscription package because it's a kid's Fire.
Okay.
They're doing a completely different kind of model. So anything like they have a whole set of its books and its TV shows and its movies and its apps. And I think that might be it, but there might be something else. There might be a fifth category of thing. And everything that is approved to be okay to be on the kid's Fire
mm-hmm.
is just immediately available.
Okay.
You don't pay anything. You don't, you know, it's just, it's all there. It's just like, it's a buffet style. Mm-hmm. But it's $99 for the year. So at the end of the year, you either have to re-up to continue to have access to all of this content. And it's a lot of content, and it's a lot of really good content.
Mm.
You can download things to the device, and everything you have downloaded, you keep. They're not taking anything away. But anything that's not downloaded, you have to pay to have continued access to.
Right.
So it's an interesting model, and it's a really nice tablet. And it's been fun playing with. But I'm going to see what else I might be able to get access to, because there is a separate side for doing all the adult functions and managing the Wi-Fi, and it's all stuff the kid can't access because you have to put in a security code, and you can go onto the internet on it, and so I don't know. I'm gonna have to play with that a little, because it does sound really interesting, and I do like Philip K. Dick. So we'll see.
So I think we discovered a new sitcom, Superstore, on Channel 4. It's probably going to be canceled, but as a family, we're enjoying it. I love workplace comedies. Basically, it takes place in a Walmart. Kids in the Hall performer Mark McKinney plays the manager. America Ferrera is kind of the main character. And like I said, I just love workplace comedies. That they're basically all crazy people. So that's on Mondays, I think 8 o'clock. You can watch on demand, or probably Hulu since it's NBC. And I have recorded Agent Carter, but I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
So, yeah, Netflix has definitely changed me that I kind of wait until I maybe get the whole season before I start watching these things.
Spoiled. You're spoiled.
Yeah.
Give it to me all at once.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And I'm going to go ahead and end my share time right there. So now let's move on over to news. Art, do you have anything, or would you like me to go first?
Why don't you start? Because you have more than I do. Whether or not all of those get read through, let's at least start with you.
Yeah, well, I as we were going through the show, I think I closed about 75% of my tabs. So.
Oh.
So let me – give me a second to scroll up here. Okay, so this is a story that probably only interests me, or only interests the hardcore people. But at Sundance, I guess they had a record sale for this movie called Birth of a Nation. So they paid $17.5 million, and it's a story of, I guess, Nat Turner, who, let me see, I just had it. Based on the story of Nat Turner, an American-born slave who led the most successful slave rebellion in American history. Now, it going for $17.5 million is a lot of money for it to get sold at an independent film festival. But the thing that interested me about it is that the company or the studio that actually won The movie in the auction did not bid the most.
Huh.
Netflix bid $20 million, but they were adamant that they want day and date, which means that when it comes out in the theater, it's available for streaming on the same day.
Oh.
And they turned that down.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, when they premiered it, I guess there was a standing ovation that lasted through the entire credits. And it's the highest price paid for a film at Sundance.
Interesting.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, now, I wonder how that works, because when they sell the film, are they still making royalties, or are they selling the film and then it's out of their hands?
I think that, as with any contract, all that is negotiated.
Negotiated, yeah.
But they're basically, this is just distribution rights.
Okay.
So the players that were in on this was, they had Netflix, Paramount, and the Weinstein Company, among others. And I guess it was like an overnight, it says here, an overnight auction.
Right. I mean, because I suppose if they're still getting a cut of the box office, then it would be more worth it to them to go through that traditional means, because they'll get, in addition to the $17 million, some cut, whatever it is, of the box office. Whereas so far, we have yet to see a day and date that does well at the box office.
Well, you're pretty much the landscape of the theater market right now. If Netflix would have got it, no exhibitor is going to show it.
Right, the theaters don't want to show it. Right.
And then goodbye Oscars.
Right. Kind of. Well, no, they'll still be, well, what, and what's the threshold? Did we ever determine that? I remember we talked about it at one point, where what is the, how many theaters does it have to be into to be considered for the Oscars?
That I don't know.
Because some of the independent theaters still carried the movie.
Right.
It's just in a much smaller release than the big three or big four who are just boycotting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Art, what do you got?
Okay. Well, speaking a little bit of the Oscars, this caught my eye. I don't really follow any of the other award shows at all. I don't really follow the Oscars. I mean, in times past, I have to some extent. So I am well aware of the scope and breadth of what the Oscars are. But this news article was why the Oscars need to add an ensemble cast category. And I thought, that's a fantastic idea, because you have these, where you have these large casts, and they, you know, one person maybe gets nominated for best actor, best actress, whatever. Everybody else is just supporting cast. Well, that's really not the case. And as I'm reading through the article, I find out that a lot of these other awards do have an ensemble cast award. And I thought, well, why in the world does the Oscars not have that? And so the article is basically talking about that it might be adopting it soon. I don't know what information that's based on, but I think that would be a great direction to take to bring more relevance to the Oscars, being as they're having a lot of issues right now.
Yeah. All right, my next news story is bad news. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to talk about this other one since you brought up award shows.
Okay.
So, speaking of what might be alternate categories for an award show, I got my hands on the list for the Critics' Choice Awards.
Okay.
And they got some weird stuff.
Well, they're critics.
Well, okay. So, as with most awards, you're going to have Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress. They do have a Best Acting Ensemble, which just happened to be for Spotlight. But as you go down the list, they've got some weird stuff, especially when it gets to TV. So they have, obviously, well, this isn't a weird one, but Best Comedy Series, they have Best Drama, Best Guest Actor. But really, they have a Best Animated Television Series. But then, basically what I want to talk about is these next six categories. They have Best Reality Show Competition.
Okay.
Then they have Best Structured Reality Show.
Okay.
Which, I don't know exactly what that means, because it isn't a competition structured, but that might not be inclusive of the other. And then they have Best Unstructured Reality Show.
Uh-huh.
So they got three awards tied to reality shows.
Oh, well, reality shows are huge.
I'm saddened by this. They also have Best Reality Show Host. So if you're curious, the competition award went to The Voice. The best structured reality show went to Shark Tank ABC, and the best unstructured went to Anthony Bourdain, colon, Parts Unknown.
Interesting. I would have thought,
And then kind of their best attendance award, they have the Genius Award that went to Industrial Light and Magic. The MVP Award went to Amy Schumer. And the most binge-worthy show went to Outlander stars.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay. You were talking about it being the Critics' Choice Award. And do you still listen to Fear the Boot?
No.
No. Okay. The latest episode, they were talking about kind of when you have your own campaign ideas and then the possibility of releasing those ideas either to other people or out into the wild to the larger internet community at large. And somebody brought up, you know, that their biggest problem they had with doing that was, you know, fear of criticism. And somebody on the show made this comment, and it really it struck me as very, very poignant, and you made me think about it because of the whole Critics' Choice. Criticism is only valid in that its value is multiplied by the one being criticized. So if you don't value the criticism, it has no effect on you. And I thought that was a very powerful statement. When somebody criticizes you, if you don't value what they have to say, the criticism means nothing.
Right.
And if you over exaggerate how much their criticism means, then it just piles onto you. And I just thought that was really interesting. And you made me remember that quote. It was powerful enough that I wrote it down and yeah. Talking about the Critics' Choice Awards really brought it back to the forefront of my mind. Mm. But moving on with the news, let us go. Okay, so we haven't talked about this in a while. Kubo and the Two Strings trailer is epic and magical. So apparently there is a new trailer out there that is set to While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And so I only just saw the news post about it just as we are getting our news together. And so that is another trailer I will be going to watch and report on because I am very, very excited for that movie.
Hmm. Okay. All right, back to the bad news that I was going to say is everyone's Netflix is about to go up $2.
I saw that.
Unless you joined after 2014 and you're already paying the $9.99, which means it's not going to go up. But
yeah, I saw I was in managing my settings for some reason. I went over to Ashley's house and I got our Netflix running over on their TV so Aubrey could watch something while we were hanging out there. And then I had to go in and we're back at our house and I went and manually booted everybody off to have to re-sign in so that they weren't still connected. So then we would be short one device being able to use at our own house, blah, 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 blah. And while I was in there, I saw the thing for the subscription. I saw it at $9.99. I'm like, it's going up to $9.99. And then when I got charged last month. No, this month. This month I was still charged $7.99. So when is it supposed to go up?
Sometime this year.
Sometime this year? Okay. Well, it hasn't gone up yet because I still got charged $7.99 this month.
Yeah, so if you think that they're just raising prices so they can just sit in their laurels and count the money, they're actually coming out with, what is it here, 600 hours of original content this year.
Oh, I do not begrudge them raising the price by $2. I get so much use out of Netflix. The original programming alone, they could charge me extra for. I mean, between some of the kids shows that are Netflix originals to the Marvel stuff to just so many things, it's totally, totally worth it.
One thing about when I was watching The Man in the High Castle is that if your mouse goes onto the viewing area, they actually pop up a link to the IMDb page for whoever is in that scene.
Nice.
And there's also like little, you know, pop-up video trivia things on there. And I was thinking, you know, because I'm both a Netflix and an Amazon Prime, and, you know, Amazon Prime at $100 a month it's a little below $10 a month for Netflix. Could, you know, it's actually, it might be a better value, but I don't think there's, you know, especially after Jessica Jones, I don't think there's any way it can quit Netflix.
Yeah, no, and with the stuff that's coming down the pipe, you know, yeah. Next season of Daredevil and Iron Fist and Luke Cage, not Iron Iron Fist and Luke Cage,
yeah.
And the Defenders. No, I you know, they could double the price. I'd be mad, but I'd still pay it.
Right. Well, it always comes down. It's the same argument, even though this is, you know, it's much more exaggerated, is Disney keeps raising the prices of their annual passes. And by what it seems exorbitant amounts, but they're just doing what they're supposed to do because they keep you keep raising it until subscriptions start going down.
Right. Kind of right. Thing. Yeah.
Especially when, you know, a fair number of rides have been shut down because they're, you know, they've started construction on the Star Wars land.
Right.
So.
Yeah, people are willing to play. It's what the market will bear. Yeah. That's how the free market works, no matter how much certain people I know don't agree with that. No.
All right, Art, what do you got next? I got one more.
Okay, you got one more. Okay. So, Kingsman 2. The changes that will be made compared to the original. So Kingsman 2 was successful enough. It is getting a sequel. Did you know this? I did not know this.
Yeah, I knew they were getting a sequel.
Okay. So the big difference, this one, they focused very much in the UK. Kingsman 2 will be going international all around the world. So that is the big change that is coming. It will be a big globe-trotting adventure around the world. So I thought that sounded really good. And there was they didn't say who the villain was, but they said it was going to be a villain worthy of, I am blanking on his name. Nope, I don't remember, and I can't find it here off the thing, but they're very happy with who they got, and they haven't said it yet who it is, but they believe that it is a worthy successor to the villain in the first movie, which I still haven't seen, so I need to get that done.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all we need, obviously we just need to get Tony Mass to tell you to watch it, and that'll happen.
Okay.
All right, so my last news story. This is from io9.com. 5 live-action Star Wars shows Disney should be making right now. Number 1, Law and Order Coruscant. All right, so here's the voiceover. In the Imperial Criminal Justice System, rebellion-based offenses are considered especially heinous. In Coruscant, the dedicated stormtroopers who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victim Elimination Unit. Nice. These are their stories.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, so that's number 1. Number 2 is Star Wars Starfighter Command. And basically the pitch for this one at the very bottom is the guy just says, oh my God, why do we spend so much time with Jedi? Pilots. Let's do just an entire show just about pilots. Number 3 is Spies, and they have the picture of Mon Mothma, you know, when she's talking about many Bothans died,
yep,
kind of thing. That one isn't the greatest idea. But then we have a satire. I'm just going to read it straight from what they wrote. In my mind, it's the space episode of news radio, but every week. The show had its news reader say this. Tragedy stuck today. Let's start it again. Tragedy struck today in Sector 9 as rebel terrorists blew up the Death Star, killing thousands. The Rebel Alliance, a fringe group of the anti-Empire fanatics, has claimed responsibility for the terrorist act. Fortunately, Lord Vader escaped without harm. Our hearts go out to the families of the victims.
Nice.
And number 5 is Droids Playing Sabacc. Bear with me, this makes sense in context. Droids Playing Sabacc will be an anthology show where a bunch of droids get together every week and tell stories about their various owners. You can tell any story this way, ranging from protocol droids working in the government to scut droids doing cleaning. Little slices of life from Star Wars universe. No pressure to remember a long, overarching plot. Just fun vignettes every week. So yeah, and one of the commenters said number 6, Top Gun featuring Poe Dameron, includes space volleyball scene.
Nice.
All right, Art, what do you got left?
I'm going to cut this last story. We can just end it there.
All right. Everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. Take care of yourself. We will catch you next time. And watch a movie. And Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.